Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Mets offered him 3 years, $66 million, with $21 million deferred over 10 years. The Mets then produced another offer, adding a $9 million signing bonus to match the Dodgers' offer. But Diaz wanted an average annual salary of at least $20 million after deferrals were taken into account and less deferred money spread over a shorter period. The Mets refused to meet those terms. The Dodgers did, and Edwin Diaz felt compelled to accept it. Since the Dodgers accepted it, why take it back to the Mets when they said no and the Dodgers said yes? So this reinforces my opinion that they thought he was coming back. They wanted him back. I think they got way too cute in these negotiations, including Castillo mentioning again that Edwin Diaz was, quote, miffed by the Devin Williams signing and not being informed about it. So whether you want to call Edwin sensitive or not, clearly the Mets' handling of these negotiations helped nudge him slightly to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, why am I less mad at Edwin Diaz? There was a third team that made an offer to Edwin. Okay. We know about the Dodgers. We know about the Mets. And this third team made a five-year offer.
The Yankees?
It was not the Yankees.
Huh.
He received a five-year offer from the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, my God.
Now, we don't know how much money it was per year. I'm assuming it was less.
That would have been great.
And the Braves also declined to match Edwin's ask. But they did make him a five-year offer, and Edwin Diaz said no.
Ah, so you respect that. He could have got more long-term security by going to the Braves, your rival, and he didn't do that.
And what I care about is that as much as we hate the Dodgers and they're evil and they're bad for baseball, the division rival still matters more than the team outside of my division.
Absolutely.
I would have been more pissed at Edwin Diaz signing with the Braves than him signing with the Dodgers.
That stupid A on the hat coming out to the trumpets, that would have been a tough pill.
And more than anything, it's 6 games versus 13 games.
Yeah, he's in your face way more.
And winning a division, as we've talked about, is really important.
And it comes down to a couple games. He's shutting down those couple games, and Devin Williams is blowing a couple games. That's all the difference in the world.
I am happier that Edwin Diaz is a Dodger as compared to the Atlanta Braves.
Yes, however, I think the Knicks, and whether it's Stearns, Cohen, they need to learn a valuable lesson.
The
here.
Knicks?
I'm sorry, the Mets. I have the Knicks on my mind. It's such a big game tonight. I know we're going to get to this later.
Okay.
It's all I can think about is this city's long-awaited parade coming back.
All I can think about is a cup finally coming back to Madison Square Garden. It's been a long time. But keep going.
Okay, we're not
going
to do anti-Rangers.
If you want to take shots, I'm going to take shots.
You don't like the Knicks.
I'm a fair man.
I'm being fair. I'm rooting for the Knicks to win a championship.
And I'm rooting for the Garden to finally win a cup. But continue on.
What were we talking about? Oh, Edwin Diaz.
Yes.
Okay, the Mets.
Let's go Knicks.
Mets, Cohen, and Stearns. Valuable lesson here. I think Diaz taught him a lesson, which was, don't assume once you made that Juan Soto signing and you feel like you kind of punched up that you are this like financial behemoth, that now any player that plays for the Mets is going to do you the solid of that last final offer, I'm coming back to you. I think Diaz told him that, listen, I think the Mets operated that, yeah, okay, we'll just play this negotiating way. We're still the Mets. We're still your home. You'll still ultimately come back to us with that last deal. He didn't.
Well, and also,
and I think you got to learn from that.
I absolutely. I think you got to be more aggressive. I remember when Steve first took over the team, and this is before they signed Juan Soto, I would talk openly that you have to overpay for players.
Yeah.
Like Yamamoto. I remember coming on the radio 2 years ago saying, yeah, it was a great offer. It needed to be higher. If you're going to beat the Dodgers or beat the Yankees in a negotiation, you got to beat them. You got to beat them cleanly. And even a guy like Edwin Diaz, who's been here since 2019, I think you have to have the same aggressiveness.
How about about this? If you set your ego aside here for a second, or maybe I'm asking you to bring your ego into this. If
my ego? What ego do I have?
I guess it's the generic ego. Let's just picture you're in that Met locker room, okay? You're on a team that has this special season, goes to an NLCS, all right? You feel like you're as big a reason as any. And I'm talking about Diaz and even to a lesser extent Alonso here. Then in that offseason, the Mets go out of their way to have one of the most public, you know, look what they gave Soto, the suite, the this, the that. If you're in that locker room and now you're waiting to get paid a year later, and you see the Mets kind of playing this hard line of, okay, we're going to go kind of, you know, ticky-tack here, this. I'm looking at that going, well, screw you. I just witnessed you go all out for a player that wasn't a part of this winning in this room. I'm an important piece of this. I'm not bringing that last deal back. I gave you your chance. You wanted to play that game. I saw how you operated a year ago. I do think the long-term ramifications of players in that room seeing how the Soto situation was handled as opposed to the Mets taking care of their own a year later does add up.
I think you need to be aggressive. Yeah. I think that's the lesson from this.
Soto was aggressive.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think you're partially right with it. I think that you can't take for granted that someone who's been with your team since 2019 is going to come back and shop that last offer. I brought this up a few weeks ago about DeGrom that apparently Texas told Jake, this is our offer, and you can't take it back to the Mets. And Jake accepted. And he also knew the Mets weren't going to match it. Mm-hmm. And he also, as everyone has said, didn't want to come back.
Right, he wanted to beat DeGon.
Edwin Diaz is talking to the Dodgers. He asks for something. Hey, give me this. The Dodgers simply are like, okay. How do you take that back to the Mets when the Dodgers simply just said yes to what you were asking for?
Right.
And that's the dangerous game of free agency. But, Tommy, do you agree with me that you would have been more pissed at him if he was a Brave than a Dodger? Or no?
It's a tricky one. Yes is the easy answer because it is a division rival, but the Braves kind of stink. Like, the Dodgers, to me, are the measuring stick right now. That's the team you wanted to throne. You don't want to make the Dodgers even better than they already were.
Oh, Jesus. I know you're going to be doing a different show, but you'll always be a part of this family.
I can't have an opinion on a baseball team
you
in Atlanta?
Absolutely have a right to have an opinion, and I have a right to replay that freaking clip of what you just said
you
come July.
Just make sure you promote the show after you play it. That's
well, fine. Well, don't promote the show.
I promote everything.
Loogie. But just say you could hear Loogie. Don't just say some idiot said this. Just say Loogie, you could hear him at night, you know, or after Yankee games.
When we make fun of Big Mac over the last year and a half,
yeah.
Do you think I properly promoted his overnight show or not really?
You properly promoted it.
All right, so then you got nothing to worry about. What are you worried, Big Mac?
You worried that we're not going to play promos? Listen to Tommy Lugauer at night.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah, that's a good idea.
All I know is when you said the Braves stink,
Evan.
It like went through my stomach.
Sitting there right now in your seat, yeah. I know there's a lot of skeletons in the Braves closet. Who do you think is a bigger challenge to get through to get to the World Series right now? The Braves or the Dodgers?
Oh, the Dodgers, right. But the Braves are going to be good. Like right now, I think the Braves are better than the Mets. Like, if you want me to rank the teams in the NL East, I think they're better. They had a lot of injuries last year. They're a very talented team.
They've underperformed the last couple of years, the Braves.
Last year, they underperformed.
What did the Mets do last year, Tom?
The year before that, we finished with the same record, basically.
But we're not talking about the Mets. We're talking about the Braves.
No, I'm talking about the Mets. Like, the Mets are worse than the Braves. So, when you say, if he went to Atlanta, they're not that good. I'm like, not that good. They're better than us right now.
But
they would have ended. What was that?
It was a no biggie for him.
No, if that's his opinion, that's what made my stomach crawl. That, like, when you said the Braves are not good.
I said they stink.
They stink. You said they stink. You're right. It was even worse. Like, as you said it, it just went through my stomach. Like, oh, I could just feel what's about to happen.
I think they stink. I think some of their players have gone backwards. I think they've made some bad moves in not retaining like a Max Fried. I think they've gone the other direction. We could disagree on that. But what we can agree on is the Dodgers are the gold standard. So them getting Edwin Diaz is a major move, and you made the best team even better.
I'll tell you this, and I'll also say our meeting in the middle is from your lips to God's ears, because obviously I want the Braves to be the worst team ever. So I hope you're right, and I hope I play the clip saying, thank God Tommy was right. The way I view the LA Dodgers is this. They could win 125 games. They could win the division, get the number one seed. As long as we take care of our business and win our division and get a first round bye, I'll take my chances in a short series. I'll also take my chances that someone else can knock them off.
Right.
But when it's your division, you're not getting a first round bye unless you beat that team. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
You have to win the division to get a first round bye, which is the ultimate goal. So I would always rather a team outside of my division get better than a team inside my division get better. And that's why, yes, him going to the Braves would have bothered me a lot more than him going to the Dodgers. Right. And I'm already bothered by him going to the Dodgers.
Right. Because you're in a 162-game series with the Braves. You're not with the Dodgers. That's the way you have to look
right.
at it.
Like, finishing with a better record than them is nice, but you can be, as long as the format's the format, which could change in a year or two, right? You can win your division, have the second best record right. in the league, and I'm good to go. Give me my chances. If they're in your division, you can't do any of that unless you win your division.
Any shot the Orioles in this realignment end up in the Met division?
Yeah, I think there's a great chance of the radical realignment we talked about.
I know.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
I thought we thought Red Sox, Yankees, Mets, Phillies.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. So you're asking me, is there a chance Pete's in my division? Absolutely.
Because then that's really staring you in the eye, huh?
I won't worry about that until they've settled the CBA and okay. they're talking about radical realignment.
Okay.
Until then, you can't get me freaked out on December 16th, 2025 what? About the possibility of Alonso being in my division.
It just came to me. That's all. I was just thinking about the idea of, oh, wow, this could happen.
But I can guarantee you this. There'll be a whole recall about it.
Oh, I'm sure. And not just one.
Let's go to Stefan in Utica. What's up, Stefan?
Well, hello, Evan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Now, in free agency, I think the Mets need to try big time to sign Tucker, Kyle Tucker. If not, go after Cody Bellinger.
I understand why you want to add them. I'm very skeptical about Kyle Tucker for this reason. I still think Kyle Tucker is going to demand and probably get a 9 or 10 year contract. The Mets going to view Kyle Tucker as the outlier player that they're willing to go to that number for? And I'm very skeptical of that.
Especially with the idea of paying like a Schubold coming down the line too.
Right. Throwing that in too.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. Like, I see Tucker and the Mets being linked if this happens. And that is Kyle Tucker and his agent off of a downish season say, let's go short term. Let's take a 2 or 3 year offer with opt outs all over the place. Then I could see the Mets being involved. Though, there's another reason why I'd still be skeptical. Would they give up the draft pick compensation
right.
for a guy who may only be here for a year or two? So I just don't see the Mets being connected to Tucker on a long-term deal. And I think their push for Bellinger, and I'm just assuming, and maybe again this is me coping, is if they can get Bellinger on a 4-year contract. Are they really going to give Cody Bellinger a 5 or 6 year deal when they wouldn't even consider it with Pete Alonso?
Well, if they're going to give him a 4-year deal, Evan, why not just extend him that extra year for the 5th year deal if you really want a player?
But you can say that with Pete. If they're going to offer him a 3-year deal, why not offer him a 4-year deal?
I know.
You can always play that game.
It may just be they didn't love Pete the way the fans love Pete.
Well, they will prove that
right.
if they end up signing Bellinger to a very similar contract. But if I had to guess right now, and I admit this is a flip-flop, I'm going to call myself out on this, but it's free agency, and I think we have every right to go back and forth on this. I do not think the Mets are going to sign Cody Bellinger. And I know last week after they lost
wow.
Alonso, I was very definitive about it. But as the days have gone on and I've really coped and figured out what I think the Mets are doing, I just can't see them going 5, 6 years for Bellinger.
So I agree with you. I think they want to be involved in Bellinger to make sure they know the Yankees are going to be bled dry here. Drive that up to the point the Yankees, now the Yankees are out on whoever they want the next 2 years. That's my guess. They're playing the game back.
Interesting. Let's go to Greg on Staten Island. What's up, Greg?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, first time, long time. Yesterday, Cinco de Mayo.
Five-oh, yeah.
Sorry. You missed two iconic players that looked strange in another uniform.
All right, give them to me. I'm sure I missed a lot since there's only five.
Number two should have been Walt Clyde Frazier in a Cleveland Cavalier uniform.
Greg, that's a great one. That is why I prefaced it by saying in my lifetime.
Yeah, because Joe Namath would have fit that too. Joe Namath would have fit that too.
Number one.
Yeah.
Yes, Joe Namath in a Los Angeles Rams uniform.
No. You're right, Greg. And what I'm going to defend Sean on this before I rip him a new one. He did make sure to make clear, hey, I'm about to turn 40. I'm doing my generation.
Well, timeout. I'm going to turn 39 in May. Big difference.
That's basically 40.
No, it is not.
It is. So I think that Clyde and Joe Namath, mm-hmm. I think they're exonerated.
Yeah.
Where you're not exonerated
okay.
is arguably the guy. I'm not going to say he should be number one because I agree with Ewing. And I thought our last caller perfectly described his Cinco yesterday, which was the five New York athletes who look the weirdest in another uniform.
And it was all obviously on Chris Kreider wearing an orange Ducks jersey yesterday.
Yes, and Pete Alonso being an Oriole, who made the list. But the biggest one that you missed, the biggest one that is unforgivable.
I don't want to hear about Tino Martinez's array again.
No.
All right.
Martin Brodeur, as one of the greatest goalies of all time, did play seven games for the St. Louis Blues at the end of his career.
Did
he? He's a Hall of Famer. He won three Stanley Cups. He won how many Vezinas? He's the greatest goaltender maybe in the history of the sport.
I mean.
And you allowed him as a Blue to not even get a mention? And I raised my hand too. This is on me. I feel like me and Tiki have to be like the editors in real time to Sean Cinco's.
Who remembers he went to the Blues?
Dude, it was only a decade ago. Are you kidding me?
You know, I mean, not for nothing. With all due respect, I understand he had a great career. First of all, he wasn't as good. He wore accolades. He's not as good a goalie as Henrik Lundqvist was.
Oh,
so
stop.
Not even the best goalie I saw in my lifetime. And like,
are you kidding me?
I don't want to be this guy.
You're already this guy. You uttered this statement. He's better. Lundqvist is better. Marty's forgotten more about his Stanley Cup wins than Henrik has.
I don't want to be this guy, but I have to say it. You're the Devils. Like, you're not the Rangers. It's like nine of you that care. If I'm going to do that, I might as well took an MLS player that played in a different uniform other than the Red Bulls. That's who the Devils are.
That's not fair.
This is a Ranger and Islander town. All due respect, Devil fans, get lost.
That's not fair.
I mean, please listen to the station, but get lost. The
That's not, I mean, that is just.
It's what?
Spit it out. You're just bitter that they whipped your ass, especially him.
They're not a New York team. Like, nobody cares.
No, people do care.
That more people care about the Flyers in Jersey than care about the Devils.
Just because they don't have as big a fan base as the Rangers, which I can relate to more than anybody with the teams I root for, doesn't mean it doesn't count. You're a Nets fan, for God's sake.
If it counts.
Like, the audacity of you, of all people, Evan, to play this card is embarrassing.
Did I include a net yesterday? Because I knew my place. Did I include a net? No, I did not. And also, if Martin Brodeur playing with the Blues was that big a deal, we haven't gotten a single call on it in 2 days, not a single tweet on it, and none of us in this room remembered he played for the Blues.
Couple of
points
things.
Stands.
Couple of things.
So who gave you that nugget? The one of the nine Devil fans?
Couple of things. We love taking calls, but it's not like we are able to take a million phone calls. It is very difficult to get through, especially to our show. And also, most people who listen don't pick up the phone and call in.
Blame
it on callers is completely irresponsible. That's number one.
Where was Ryan, who named Cinco de Luncho? He's got to deal with all the. He writes about that. Where was he on Brodeur? He didn't have it.
Maybe he listens on delay. I don't know. The point is, I received plenty of tweets people. Yes. Dude, how does he
show
not
me one tweet? Show me a tweet. You saw plenty? Show me a tweet.
Oh, I got
to. No, I'm going to get up. Show me a tweet.
Okay. The Devils.
Show me a tweet.
Still in the league.
Because I guarantee it was one Devil fan texted you or saw you in person.
There you go.
Huh? Let's
Very see. Disappointed in you. Usually a helping voice of the Devils.
That's a picture of a penis.
Easily the number one New York athlete to look bizarre in another jersey, and it's actually not even close. Marty Brodeur and a Blues jersey. And he's right.
Seven games in a Blues jersey? Nobody remembers.
That's what makes it weird. That's what adds to it. I'll give you Ewing at number one. Like, I'm not going to fight that. But Brodeur's got to be up there.
Nobody cares.
Got to be up there. No, you're wrong about that. Let's go to Nick in Staten Island. Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I have one question for you.
Yes.
Do you think a big blockbuster trade will change the way Mets fans feel right now?
It's a great question. I think certain Met fans, like Joe B, who was on yesterday and famously said he, quote, feels violated by what happened. I do not think there is a single somewhat realistic trade that could get Joe to get out of his slump. I don't see it. Is there a trade that would get other Met fans out of their slump? Yeah, I think Fernando Tatis Jr. would galvanize a portion of the fan base.
I felt violated.
But I think a guy like Joe,
no.
He's done. Like, not done like he won't watch the team. He loves the team. But
you don't think Joe's excited about, like, the casino in Metropolitan Park?
Stop.
I felt violated.
Stop.
Not pumped up about that?
But I think that's the only one. I'm trying to think of another, like, we could make up a fake one. Yeah. Like, Aaron Judge. But, you know, like,
you don't think
realistic,
he'd be pumped up about Bellinger?
Cody Bellinger?
Yeah, I think that would pump up Joe.
No.
First of all, okay.
He would actually take a similar approach to something I alluded to, which is, you pay this guy! You give this guy 5 years?
But hold on, though, Evan.
Absolute buffoon idiot.
There's Joe's reaction in December and January. Bellinger gets off the hot start those first 2 weeks in April. We're going to get first. Maybe we have something here.
Sean, that's not the question. Because the one thing about Joe is, and he's admitted this, opening day comes around, he's locked in.
Oh, he moves with the wind. There's no doubt about it.
So no one's disputing that once the season starts, just like every other Met fan, it won't be, hey, I hope it works out.
We're talking about winning him back.
No, but the question was about an off-season move that would change everything. Like the Mike Piazza trade changed everything,
right? Scoble.
I don't think it would do that. Because I think the same answer would be, and we couldn't keep Pete. It would almost have to be someone who's a slugger. So you could say he's replacing Pete. And I just don't know who that is. Like, I'm racking my brain. Like, Tatis Jr. would excite a lot of people because of his age.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you that there's a portion of the fan base that would not go crazy over it. So look around baseball. Like, who would it be? Like, who would it be?
The Reds sold out and traded Ellie De La Cruz to the Mets.
Yeah, I think that would excite a big portion of the fan base.
But it's never going to happen. But I'm just trying to find something that would be out of nowhere.
The Giants decide they don't want to be in business with Rafael Devers and he gets traded?
I don't even know what that.
No, I know. I'm telling you, I'm racking my. Oh, I got it.
All right.
I got the guy.
Okay.
I got the freaking guy. That, for Joe at least, where I think he'd be like, you know what? All right. Hall of Famer, still in the prime of his career, and plays a position that would at least impact a potential Alonso return. And Tommy, you're very close with this guy. You're a big guy. You're a big fan of this guy. Jose Ramirez of the Cleveland Guardians.
Oh, okay. So you got another Jalen Brunson lookalike in town.
Yeah, he does look like Jalen Brunson.
He looks like a chubby Brunson.
Did we go over this once?
No. Well, I tried to say it, and then I had to sell you guys on it, and then there's somebody else that looks like Brunson.
Kyler Murray and Jalen Brunson was the one we did last week. But yes, Jose Ramirez and Jalen Brunson are doppelgangers as well.
Yeah, I think a Ramirez trade, and again, not saying it's out there, I think that could maybe go a ways into Joe being like,
I just think part of all of Joe's reasons for saying he feels violated is because this is another homegrown player that was left and they didn't want. So I don't know how you replace that. Unless they bring back Pete Alonso, I don't know what's going to make Joe happy because this happened and he felt like it wouldn't happen under Cohen.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, the truth is, I just don't think there really is anything that would bring a fan like him to saying this is a great offseason.
That being said, Jose Ramirez is miles ahead of Pete Alonso as a baseball player. Can we agree on that? I mean, Jose Ramirez is a Hall of Famer, all-time player,
MVP,
one of the most underrated players of his generation.
Jose Ramirez is a great player. I think the issue I would have with him is that he's 33.
So you think decline?
Yeah, I would just question, like, what is he over the next 3 years? He's still a great player.
So he's 40.
What does that mean?
You just said I was 40, and I'm nowhere near it.
You're 39. Jose's 33,
dude. I'm 38. So I'm only 5 years older than Jose Ramirez. What's the difference?
That's a half a decade age difference.
So 5 years is a big deal, but 6 months is not.
Yeah.
Six is higher than five.
I'm very confused. Who are you talking about?
You said that Pete Alonso and Bellinger are not close to a year apart because it's 6 months.
Basically,
the number six is higher than five.
Cody Bellinger and Pete Alonso are basically the same age. They are 6 months apart in age. Correct. What's your next point?
My point is I'm only 5 years older than Jose Ramirez.
How old are you, Sean?
I'm 38.
When do you turn 39?
May.
You're almost 40.
No, I'm not. Just because you guys all got old, leave me alone.
It is time here Tuesday at 3:30 to play a new game of Posted and Toasted.
It's time for Posted and Toasted.
I have discovered old tweets from some of our fellow WFN coworkers, and Sean will guess who posted it.
Yes, I love when Tiki's not here on a Tuesday.
You like having this power?
I love this game.
All right. February 27th, 2013. Just saw this TV reporter woman sit and eat a hot dog during the national anthem. Real classy. Is that Sean Morash, Chris McMonagle, Greg Giannotti, or Al Dukes?
All right, this sounds like an Al Dukes tweet, but this is 2013 and this would mean going to a game. Was Al still going to games in 2013?
Was Al ever going to the games?
Oh. I'm going to say Al with no confidence.
You're wrong.
Is it me?
You're wrong.
Giannotti.
I like her ass.
Jeez.
Yes, you were correct. Gio was judging this TV reporter for sitting and eating a hot dog during the anthem. He's completely right about that. That would piss me off if I saw that. I wouldn't say anything. Like, I don't say things to people. But yes, that action would be like, dude, sitting and eating a hot dog during the national anthem?
So I agree with you. However, now that this is like John, gotten in my head, when are you supposed to eat as a TV reporter? It's your only downtime is the national anthem.
I think if you're standing, maybe I'd feel a little bit better.
One hand on the heart, the other hand on the dong.
Yeah, I think you could do that.
All right.
This post is from October 15th, 2025. Uber driver ranks for me as the most gangsta drivers in Manhattan. Number one, sanitation. Number two, MTA bus. Number three, cabbies. Agree or disagree?
Wait, hold on. I need the first sentence again on this. Uber?
Uber drivers rank for me the most gangsta drivers in Manhattan.
I don't understand this tweet. The Uber drivers are ranking the other drivers?
Here's what I'm thinking, because I am confused now that I read it. I think this person was in an Uber, and the Uber driver ranked for this person the most gangsta drivers in Manhattan.
Okay.
And the Uber driver ranked it as sanitation, MTA bus, cabbies, and then the person said, agree or disagree, asking his followers what they think.
All right, now I got it. What a fascinating tweet.
Is that person Craig Carton? He'll be here on January 5th. Tommy Lugauer, Boomer Esiason, or Al Dukes?
Al doesn't trust getting in somebody else's car. Is it Craig?
You're wrong.
I thought maybe we were getting our first Craig one.
I gotta throw him in there. He's gonna be an option.
Yeah, he's on the roster. Boomer.
Boomer Esiason! That is a Boomer tweak. Look at you. Look at you. Very impressive.
I actually agree with sanitation workers as the number one on that list.
This one is from April 20th, 2012. We have a box of blow pops in the office full of guys. I don't know if I should read this, actually.
What?
You know what? Tommy is executive producer for now. Should I even do this tweet? I'm like back and forth about it.
Hold on. I haven't seen it yet. Give me a minute.
But I almost feel like even if it's off, I need to know this tweet.
Connor, as the acting executive producer of this show, do you think I should read this tweet?
Yeah, why not? Just go for it.
Tommy?
Connor, before you say that, are you employed here on January 5th?
I will be, yes.
All right.
You know what I should do? Since Connor's so confident about reading it, you read it then.
Go ahead, Connor.
Yeah, why don't you read it then?
Okay, give me 1 second here to pull it up.
Thank you very much.
Huh.
I'll tell you, it's April 20th, 2012.
All right.
We have a box of blow pops in an office full of guys. Watching guys sucking on blow pops all day, .. Not so great.
Is that person Craig Carton?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Al Dukes, Greg Giannotti, or Evan Roberts?
Al?
Oh, hi there.
Here's my dog's poop.
Oh, hi there.
Is that your favorite Al tweet of all time?
That's so good.
That would have been a perfect Craig initiation to this game. All right. Good job. You got it right on one guess.
I just pictured Al's mind working.
I feel like we need to end it on a more PC note, so...
Okay.
January 11, 2019. Big Girl Scout cookie order going around the office, and I'm reminded that the s'mores are the Vegas Golden Knights of the Girl Scout cookie world. Never saw them coming out as an expansion franchise and played for a championship almost immediately.
It's me, isn't it? I love those cookies.
It is you. Good job.
Those came out of nowhere. They appeared. That all of a sudden, and I remember tasting that for the first time. Going, holy crap! They nailed it. Where was this 10 years ago?
And what kind of cookies are they?
So it's like a vanilla wafer on each side, but it's like the chocolate. I guess they're graham crackers, actually. The shape of that with the chocolate in between with a little marshmallow flavor, and it's just like a little cake cookie.
It's a s'more.
Yeah, like it's a s'more.
Interesting.
Very good.
Fat.
Yeah. Very good.
The fact that it was an analogy to the Vegas Golden Knights as an expansion team needed to be you. Real quick sports piece of breaking news that could impact us in the future. Mike McDaniel. Obviously, the Dolphins did lose last night to the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was a close game till the first two drives of the second half. Head coach Mike McDaniels was asked today if he was considering a quarterback change. Mm-hmm. And we are experts on this around here in New York. And McDaniels' answer was, well, I think the quarterback play last night was not good enough. And so for me, everything is on the table.
Tua Tagovailoa at Alabama.
So that makes you think, with the Dolphins out of it, because they have been mathematically eliminated from the postseason, and Tua not having a great season, and that's being kind of kindly, especially when you compare it. I mean, it leads the league in interceptions the year he's had.
Yeah.
This is Mike McDaniel. And I don't know if it's he knows he's coming back or it's, ah, screw it. But he's clearly benching Tua. And the only question left is, does he go to Quinn Ewers, who is on the roster? Or does he go to Zach Wilson?
I had forgotten about Quinn Ewers. I think you go to Zach first.
Just to see?
Because, well, I would say this. What is the point of having a Zach Wilson on your roster if not to go to him at the first chance, like on benching a starter? Because isn't that the whole point is the, like, maybe we have rehabbed his image with some of these young quarterbacks? He has such a big stain on us as New Yorkers.
He is a free agent at the end of the season.
So don't you want to get a look or maybe that you want to keep him?
I almost lean towards, since he's a free agent, and there's really nothing he's going to do in 3 weeks that would change my mind, wouldn't I want to see the rookie Quinn Ewers? If I'm a Dolphin fan, that's probably how I would view this.
Probably,
now,
but again, Zach Wilson's not going to have a big market anyway, so wouldn't I want to know whether I want to re-sign him or not?
I guess so. I would prioritize the young guy who's on my roster. And Zach's still young, in fairness. He's only 26. Right,
but if
Ewers is 22.
But if you weren't in New York, if we weren't in New York, if we went and lived the Zach Wilson thing, and you think about all of these quarterbacks that we talk about that were failed first-rounders that maybe got better elsewhere, what's to stop Zach Wilson from being that guy?
No, it's a good question. Like, what would I say if this was the Jets right now and I had a 26-year-old failed quarterback prospect? Let's call him Justin Fields.
Correct.
And I had the either non-drafted or very lately picked player, because Quinn Ewers was a seventh-round pick,
right,
which is essentially being non-drafted.
Right, and he was, I mean, a year earlier, people thought he was going to be a first-rounder. So
yeah, so the only thing that makes it not work with Justin Fields is Justin played. And we evaluated him and said, okay, it's not working.
Right.
They haven't played Zach Wilson. It's a fair point. I don't know which way I'd go. Now,
I have more confidence in Zach Wilson than I do Justin Herbert.
The question I would have, though, I guess this is for myself, and I already have an answer, is two is done. And he's done in Miami.
Definitely.
I know that there could be a coaching change, so you never know. I guess Mike McDaniel gets blown out. They have a new GM. They have a new head coach. They could bring Tua back. It's certainly possible. Would I have any interest in him as like that young veteran tutoring the young quarterback that I draft? And the truth is, it's the same thing I said about Kyler Murray. If at 28 years old, Tua is okay with competing for a job and knowing nothing is guaranteed, I like competition. And I asked Tiki this 2 weeks ago when we talked about Kyler Murray. I said, look, what's better for a young quarterback? Having this veteran who's clearly going to be benched for you but can tutor you, or a young real threat, like a real competition? And he thought competition, which is why I'm intrigued by these players. So don't hear me wrong, because I'm sure it'll be misinterpreted. Evan's an idiot. He wants Tua. Just like I wanted Kyler Murray. No. I want them in the right situation, a young guy competing with whomever I draft. So I would view Tua in a very similar way to the way I viewed Kyler Murray when we talked about him a week ago.
And you'd rather Tua than Justin Fields, who's under contract?
Justin Fields is gone, dude. I mean,
I'm throwing it out there. I'm trying to say, like, what would be the alternative? If you're saying you're out on Tua.
Tua!
You know what I mean? Would you rather Tua or Kyler Murray?
Justin Fields has no chance to play quarterback for the New York Jets. Okay. He's probably not even going to play this year. So I think we have to eliminate him.
He's going to get cut, and that's the end of it.
Yeah,
I think that's fair. But I think it's just not going to happen anyway. To me, why Tua would be eliminated is, I'm assuming at some point, even if you have a rookie in this league, guys get hurt. You never know you're going to need to play. I've seen enough of him after last night to know if I am a team that has a chance of playing cold weather games in November and December, I want Tua nowhere near my roster even to compete.
I'm glad you brought that up. So the big stat that's being floated around is Tua's record in games where it's 40 degrees or colder. I think it's 0-14.
Yeah. I don't need the stat. I see him playing. He looks like a different player.
Okay. The game against the Jets at MetLife that I took young Spence to, It was 41 degrees. What are we doing here?
All right.
Like, what are we doing?
Oh, hold on.
I know it's...
It's not 40, Evan.
No. Hold on.
It was 41 degrees. It was cold. We were freezing our tuchuses off, and he won. So can we at least be like a little bit fair? Can we try?
I'm going to be fair about this. I've watched him play in really cold weather.
Not that
days.
He lit it up that day.
Well, but this is what I'm going to say. First of all, that stat says more about the Jets than it does to him. That's first of all. Second of all, you're picking an arbitrary, or the stat is the arbitrary number of 40 degrees. I'm really more focused on like literally freezing temperature games. He looked like a different human being in the one great season he had when he had to play in that cold weather game in Kansas City. All I'm saying is it's one thing to bring in a quarterback and compete, which I'm with you. You want a veteran quarterback that's willing to go, hey, if the rookie beats me out, that's fine. But then you're still on the roster, and quarterbacks get hurt. I mean, look at Jackson Dart missing those two games. You're going to need a guy to step into play. I don't think he could play here in November. I really don't. I think he's going to be better suited being the Colts quarterback in a dome or something like that.
I'm going to make a comment to you that many in the audience, especially the Dolphin fan, will cringe at. But I really just want to make a point. I have great respect for the guy I'm bringing up. But has anyone ever looked at Dan Marino's success in cold weather games?
Is it not? I really don't. Is it not that great?
In the regular season, in games in which it was 40 degrees or below, he was 7-8.
Okay.
Which is not good. Now, it's not 0-15.
Right. There are seven wins there. Isotoners.
There are also eight losses.
Okay.
And the Dolphins were mostly good. And he had never won a postseason game that was considered a cold weather game. My point is, and this is not a knock on Dan, it's that if you're the quarterback in South Florida, the odds are you're not going to be great in cold weather because you're so rarely playing those games.
Yeah, he also, Tua, grew up playing in Hawaii where I can assure you he never saw snow.
I got you, but how overrated is that?
Dan Marino played a Pitt.
I get that, but what does it mean? If you're playing in an environment, it's like...
You don't think
like
there's certain guys who just like, man, they didn't grow up and didn't do anything? You don't think it's possible that certain guys just absolutely freeze up in the cold weather?
Sean, possible is not the right word to use. Of course, anything is possible. I've always brought this argument up to you about domes and why I hate them. I think that inherently, if you play all your home games in a dome, your numbers in cold weather are going to be affected because most of your games are in a controlled environment.
Well, yes, but we're talking about
two different things. Where you grow up.
I think we're talking about two different things. I think there are certain guys that can overcome and probably get labeled and punished because of where they're playing their home games. But I think a guy like Tua, who has never sniffed cold weather outside of his NFL games in his career, he's just not a cold weather guy.
888-808-1019, the number. Let's go down to a warm area, Tampa, Florida, say good afternoon to Johnny. What's going on, Johnny?
Hey, Evan. How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind? Was that it?
That was a hell of a call.
That's the first time anyone's... there he is. All right, go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah. So, no, I was just at my Bluetooth. I'm trying to turn that off. I just want to preface it by saying I've been listening to you guys, or you, Evan, for a long time, and I always appreciated being a Jets fan myself, your perspective. I think you're a loyal fan, and your comedy that you bring to sports, I really appreciate. So I just wanted to say that.
Appreciate it.
Wanted to wish you guys a very Merry Christmas to you and your families and everyone over at the fan.
You too, man. Appreciate that. We all do.
But I want to bring up my point about the Jets. And that is that, you know, one subject I like put to rest, specifically in sports media, is this idea that Joe Burrow has any chance of coming to the Jets. and that's because one recent fun fact I want to bring up to you guys. I don't know any of you guys who follow some Instagram pages that are associated with the Bengals, and I don't, but for whatever reason was on my feed, that he just got tattooed a few days ago by his tattoo artist, a tiger on his leg. And from what I understand, this guy does not, he has no trade clause. So I couldn't see a little combination of the two, him coming to the Jets. And I wanted to hear what you had to say and if you heard about that as well.
Well, a couple of things. I didn't know about the tattoo. I did know about the no trade clause, and let's address that. There are a lot of steps to this fantasy. Number one is Joe Burrow asking to be traded.
Correct.
And number two is the Cincinnati Bengals acquiescing because they don't have to.
Right.
So I think that we are ways from that.
Right. The Bengals might be the one that want to use the no trade more than Burrow.
Well, they don't have to trade someone. There's no rule that they have to trade someone. But I think that's the first two steps. And the only reason this is being discussed, and we played the clips a few days ago, was that Joe Burrow had a reflective press conference in which he talked like a guy that either wanted to retire or get the hell out of Cincinnati. So there are a lot of steps to this. But step one, we're not there yet, which is would Joe Burrow, after this season is over, ask the Bengals for a trade? Oh, is that going to happen? What would you say the odds of that happening are?
I would say 40-60.
Fair enough. 40% chance.
The second step is, how does Cincy respond? Did the Bengals say, you know what, we'll work with you on this? Or did the Bengals say, absolutely not, shut your mouth? What are the odds, Sean, that the Bengals say, you know what, we get it, we'll work with you on some kind of trade?
I would again go, once we got there, 40-60.
All right. So now we're at the third step, that Burrow and the Bengals are okay with exploring things. The New York Jets, and this is not a debate, have the best package that can be offered. They just do.
They have a huge package.
They have got the draft capital that blows everybody away.
Mm-hmm.
So now the Bengals have these negotiations. The Vikings are calling. The Jets are calling. The Dolphins are calling. I mean, you name all the teams. Even teams that have quarterbacks are calling, right? Joe Burrow's Joe Burrow.
Right.
At that point, the Bengals now go back to Joe and say, we've worked with you. These are the teams. Because we're not taking a lesser offer. And that's where, I assume, if we ever got to this expanded level, the Bengals would allow Joe and his agent to talk to teams, talk to them about a different contract, and talk to them about the situation. And what the Jets would have to do, and it would have to be an upset, I admit that, the Jets are the Jets, I know that, is they would have to sell him on the future. They'd have to sell him on this town, on this market, on their vision, on the talent on the roster. Is that a long shot? Of course it is. But those are all the steps that have to be followed before you can get to this dream scenario. And I'll tell you this from my experience, and I know it didn't work out, but it matters. The reason I will never close the door to a superstar player picking my stupid team is because Kevin Durant and Juan Soto did. And I get it. I get it. With Soto was the money, and with Durant's case, he didn't want the smoke of the garden. Whatever excuse you want to come up with, I now live in a world. And Aaron Rodgers picked my team, too.
I live in a world.
That's why I didn't use him to start. I live in a world in which I'd never just rule anything out. But I agree. I mean, I'm giving you all the steps. It's complicated. Where would I put the odds? Are they below 10%? Sure. They're 5%. Whatever the number
is. But they're not zero.
They're
not
zero.
And that's why it's worth talking about on Sports Talk Radio.
Yes.
And I also think, I can't blame him, because you know me. I'm the first one to laugh at the Jets. You know, Joe Burrow is Mr. the fur coats, the fashion, everything. He might want to be near Fashion Week at all time and think, man, I could be the star quarterback of a New York franchise and be the guy that turns this around. I mean, they might take that.
You never know what someone's looking for.
Yeah.
And I think the reality is, when you look at Durant making that decision, none of us thought that was coming.
Right.
So you don't know. I never want to rule that kind of stuff out. Am I banking on it? I'm not banking on it, but I think you got to follow the tea leaves right now. And step number one is clear, which is Joe Burrow does not look happy. And by the way, he followed up that press conference by that god-awful, embarrassing performance.
Yeah, and the tattoo, we have to acknowledge the tattoo thing.
What does the tattoo mean?
Okay, here's the way I interpret it. Joe Burrow is always going to have a special Bengals place. I'm sorry, they drafted him in the NFL draft, and he started his career there and made a Super Bowl there. He gets a Bengal tattoo. He could go, like a picture of a, whatever, a tattoo of a tiger. He could go play anywhere else in his...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Career with that tattoo, and nobody would think twice, because guess what? The team that drafted you get a tattoo, who's going to think twice? This same thing, Evan, let's bring it to the Giants. It's been talked about with Dexter Lawrence. He has the NY Giant logo tattooed on him. Has anybody listened to Dexter Lawrence speak over the last month into a microphone? Does that sound like a guy who thinks he's, doesn't sound like a guy that's going to be traded or want to be traded this offseason because he has a tattoo? What are you, nuts? The tattoo means nothing. It just means that's the place they start in their career. Tattoos are meant to be special. And I think starting your NFL career, that logo, I think that means special stuff.
Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Matthias out in San Diego. What's up, Matthias?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's on your mind?
Good. Good. Well, first of all, I love listening to you guys. You guys keep me occupied while I'm sitting in the office, bored as hell.
Appreciate it. Thank you. That's got to be rough, an office in San Diego, huh?
Yeah, it's a little tough. But anyway, you guys missed some key Cinco de Fivos from yesterday.
All right, Matthias, I'm going to let you go. But before you go, please tell me that you understand the criteria was in my lifetime. I'm 38 years old.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
So, first of all, Evan, you missed, I know you're a big Islanders fan. You missed some of the greatest Islanders of all time.
First of all, before you continue, it's Sean's list. I don't like the fact that when Sean screws up, I get you didn't correct him on this, you didn't correct him on that. Half the time I'm cutting my toenails, getting an actual break during the show. So this is on Sean, but continue on. List the Islanders that were missed by Sean.
Okay. Well, Sean missed a big one too, anyway. So first of all, you missed Brian Trottier.
I just said in my lifetime. I'm 38. Like I was alive.
Right, who else? Keep going. Who else you got?
Okay, you missed Patrick Flatley also, who played for the Islanders his entire career.
Can we wake up a little here, Matthias?
Who else? Keep going.
All right, Sean, you missed a big one there. How about Carl Banks?
Is this a troll?
Played for Washington. That was your lifetime. You don't remember Carl Banks playing for Washington? That's a weird one. Even Carl would admit that.
My first memory of sports is the 94 Rangers. I'm 7 years old.
Okay. You know what then? Let me help Matthias out.
Okay.
You missed Mark Messier.
Mark Messier started as an Oiler. I saw a million images of him as an Oiler before he was a Ranger. Different story.
Yeah, but he was still wearing a Vancouver Canuck jersey.
But I've already seen him in another jersey a million times as a Ranger.
Fair enough. Hey, listen, man, it's your list. That's the beautiful part.
Yeah, it was
about
a great list, too.
Steve in Bayside. Hey, Steve.
What's going on, guys?
Yo.
You know, if people think that the Mets are going to go sign a 31-year-old outfielder to a long-term contract, I don't know what offseason they're watching. I mean, David Stearns has made it very clear that when players get into their early 30s, he doesn't want to get overextended with them.
That is why, Steve, I don't think they're going to sign Cody Bellinger, even though a few days ago I emotionally thought they would. And B, if they did sign Cody Bellinger, despite him being a good fit as a ball player, I think I'd be annoyed. Because how do you rationalize not even making Pete Alonso an offer and then signing someone who's the same age, as much better athletically as he is, has more of an injury history than him, to a 4 or 5 or 6 year deal? So I tend to agree with you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.